This talk of seeking the Spirit together as a church, we might be wondering, how on earth do you do that? How do you listen to God? How do you know it's God speaking? How do you know it's not something else? How do you actually go about it? Are you to go into a quiet room, put beanbags around you, sit on a beanbag maybe? Fold your arms and just close your eyes and get into that state of mindfulness. Well, then what? Then what do you do? What do you expect? How do you do it? How do you listen to God? How do you do that as a church? Well, over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to be bringing some Bible teaching to that, some practical things to help us work through that so that we, not just for our Seeking the Spirit initiative, but generally, how do we hear from God? After all, some people say God said, they tell us, and we know it's bonkers. How do we distinguish between that and our bonkers stuff? Is that the Lord? How do we seek his guidance? How do we look to him? Well, we're going to do that. I'm going to start off with a reading from 1 Corinthians 12, which is a really important reading to help us to understand how we do such a thing together. And someone's going to come and read that to us. It's Nick, I think. Yes, it's Nick.
It's just one way to listen to God, read his word. So yes, as David said, this reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, if you want to follow on. This is titled, One Body with Many Parts. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up only one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into Christ's spirit by one spirit. Sorry, all been baptized into Christ's body by one spirit. And we have all received the same spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, it does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye. Would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But God made our body with many parts, and he has only put each part just where we want it. What a strange thing a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body.
It's the word of the Lord for us. Right, our PowerPoint is going to appear on the screen. We're asking, what is God saying to KCBC? And You are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And we come together to seek the way ahead with Christ. So, you're going to get something like that, double-sided sheet of A4, and you're going to look at it and you're going to go, what? What is that about? What do we do now? What comes next? How do we do it? And you might be thinking, me? Me as well? What? I'm going to be involved? Really? And that is a good question, really. Why should you be involved at all? After all, many organisations have a very different way of structuring. Any church that is a national church would see the way things are organised is God first and the Bible and the people, the monarch is important, has a great place in that. Followed by Parliament, who make decisions, acts and statutes are given out, and then finally that affects how everyone lives and what everyone does. You look to the top for how things are done. Here's an organisation chart for 1970s big charismatic church which grew and went international, and they had a very, very strict structure of how things worked. or going right down from the pillar church evangelist to church elders, zone leaders, house church leaders, Bible talk leaders, whatever that is, disciples, and rank and file members. Who seeks the Spirit on the way ahead? Well, you could see, just looking at the chart, we know whose job that really should be, and it's right up the top. It's their responsibility. Rank and file members, it looks like you do what you're told. That's an awful lot above you, and you are at the bottom. Many organisations would go like that, and that you use your expertise at the top, right down to the people at the bottom, who simply are the foot soldiers of the organisation. And that makes sense, that you've got the right people making the decisions. You would not expect, for instance, a group, the front row here, to select the England rugby team. And who's playing? You'd love to have a go, but this is not really perhaps using our expertise. We wouldn't want this corner of the church to be those who set the Bank of England interest rates. I mean, again, you'd love to have a go, but we might not think you're the best qualified, with all respect, to be able to do that and to time it. So, how do we do it? Well, many church denominations do organise themselves in a way which is top-down. The Roman Catholic Church, the Pope as the Bishop of Bishops, the bishops underneath, and the priests, and the laity at the bottom, following the instructions from the top. The Church of England, similar structure. It's just that the king and the bishops are at the high points in the organisation. They instruct the bishops, they instruct the priests and the clergy, who will then instruct the laity. And that's the way it works. And so they will seek the Spirit. Usually it's from the top down. We look at the Bible. Ooh, a little bit different. Although there are gifts that are used in the church and different people are acknowledged to have a different part, including leading, Paul wants to bring us a body image of the church. Rather than a you do what you're told, it's a body image. God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If there were all one part, where would the body be? It's a body thing. Church as a whole is a body image. So each has a part, each has a niche. You're not just doing what you're told. And the church is just a mix of different people of all sorts of abilities and backgrounds and worries. And well, there we are. There's the blob tree version of church. And I always love this blob tree because you can find out who you are at the moment in the church, and you can identify others and who they are as the blobs there as well, which is quite funny. From those who want to be alone, for those who are happy to be alone, those who are unhappy to be alone, to those who are very gregarious and sociable. I like the one here, just fallen asleep. Could be you, the church, all together. Not a top-down type of organization. The church is a body. See, the thing is, when it comes to hearing from God, when it comes to listening to the Holy Spirit, you can't tell which one the Spirit is going to pick out. Or the Holy Spirit might speak to the whole, all together, and they pick up, this is what the Spirit is saying. You don't know. You don't know if it's you who in a moment has opened yourself to God, and the Spirit said, you. You're not me. That's for the that's for the big beaks at the top. No, you, because my spirit is on you. I'm speaking to you. What? Yes. You never know who it's going to be. You never know if the voice of the spirit is going to be a small voice or a great big booming voice. You never know. You just don't know. So when it comes to seeking spirit, the whole body needs to be involved. But is the whole body capable? Can we not just fold our arms and leave it to the leadership to do their job? Well, let's see. I want to ask you to tell me what qualification that you have that you're most proud of, or one that you're very proud of. I'll open up. I'm very proud of my 1 mile swimming certificate, which when I was a little boy, I swam a mile, and there was no certificate for it from the swimming club, so my sister made me a certificate. How sweet is that? And yes, I do still have it, of course. What are you most proud of? Come on, your qualifications, your achievements.
Being in the army for 14 years.
Yes, that's quite,
the Queen and country, which was here.
Quite something, isn't it? Yes, you really did. Really did do a work there, yeah. Brilliant. Thank you, Sean. What are you proud of? What qualification?
I'm also proud of my daughter, raising two children.
Yes, that's quite an achievement, isn't it?
Well, she's got a new partner, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know what I mean? The children, your grandchildren, yes. Brilliant. Others, come on.
For me, qualifications don't really matter too much, but the thing I'm probably most proud of is I worked very hard and got a gold medal at the Dartmoor Classic Road Ride, and I love that. It's hard work.
Wow, gold medal winner. We have a gold medal winner among us. Fantastic. Thank you,
guys. I didn't win, I just got a win of time.
All right. Okay. That will do, though. A few other things that you are. Which you've used ever since. Yes, it's quite something, yeah. That's really good, quite an achievement. So it's something you used to get going with. Brilliant. Thank you, Pam. One more?
My son's his master's degree in fine arts.
Oh, that's quite well.
4 7 years hard work, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's something I wouldn't know the first thing about fine arts. A good fan.
7 years hard work.
Yeah. Rick?
I think when I passed my final exams at college, I was quite proud of that. Still, I'm really bad. I didn't know an awful lot. just the beginning.
But you got it. That's that sense of achievement. And those qualifications, if it's a qualification you've got, they allow you to participate. They allow you to do more. You can't do it without it. It shows that you've got the skill, you spend the time developing that skill, and no matter how much you want to do something, there are some tasks that unless you've got the qualification, you can't do it. You can't be a first aider unless you have done the course and actually been there. It's not a rights issue. It's not I have a right to do what I want. No, you simply need the qualification. No qualification, can't do it. And you can't seek the Holy Spirit if you are not qualified. You are not assigned with the authority to do it. It's not the certificate you get, but unless you are qualified, you cannot seek the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you are qualified. Let's have a look. You are qualified because you are a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Whoever you are, as a Christian, you are qualified. You are part of the royal priesthood. Now, priesthoods are exclusive. They're an exclusive club which requires the right people to set you aside and appoint you as a priest. And it was true in the Old Testament. The priests were the one who acted as an intermediary, a conduit of the work of the Spirit to the people. So they did all the right rituals, all the right sacrifices. They read the word of God to people. People know what the word of God said. And it all came through them. You could not be a priest by volunteering. You're a priest by family background, by training, and by setting aside and anointing. With Jesus, you're automatically priested. You say, well, not me, there's people who'd be better at it than that, and I haven't got that look of a priest. Can't do it. Doesn't matter. Look at all these people here. I mean, they're all Christian believers. They look very different, and they too are part of the priesthood. With Jesus, it's been expanded and exploded out of that priesthood of the Old Testament to cover all who are part of the body of Christ. So are you qualified? You are qualified. You are qualified to seek the Spirit. You are able to do it. Now, as Baptists, we are also well equipped to do this together. In the 1600s, only Anglicans could be involved in the church and the worship of the church. Anglicanism was meant to be inclusive. Everyone was in. You were christened and you were part of the Anglican church. And that meant that, although it was inclusive, it meant that everyone was under the rule of the king, most importantly, and under the rule, therefore, of the bishops, the ministers, and you took your place. That meant that if you weren't part of that system, you were not allowed to gather for worship. You were not allowed to teach from the word of God. You weren't allowed to preach. You weren't certainly allowed to take communion or mass or anything like that. Unless it was authorized, you couldn't do it. Now, the Baptist movement grew as a grassroots movement. It wasn't organized by a particular pioneering leader who went out there and gathered people. It was people coming together locally, saying, no, we think we are authorized by God as part of his body to worship together, to look at God's word together, to read it together, to share in bread and wine. We think anyone can do it. The authorities begged to differ. So many early Baptist Christians, leaders, communities were persecuted because they were illegal. But they said, no, we believe in the body of Christ, acting as the body of Christ, and they persevered. One of the first leaders, which is John Smith, honestly, that's his name. He said, the visible church is a kingly priesthood, and the saints are kings and priests of God. That's a wonderful statement coming out of the passage that we're looking at today, as the church of the body of Christ, the church as a priesthood of Christ. And that is dangerous talk, because you're usurping the rule of the king, any ruler who's around. You're also usurping the role of the official priests who will tell you what to do, how to do things. And so it is quite subversive. I think it's right. A lot of the freedom that we enjoy today. And a lot of the what happened in America with liberating people to worship together, say, well, without the state interfering, comes from that Baptist understanding. So, well, we're well placed because it says the congregation are those who can make the judgments. The congregation are those who can discern. That's why we have a church meeting, because the congregation make the discerning decisions. So, as Baptists, we are well placed with our understanding of church to seek the mind of Christ together. What is the Spirit saying? And it's a challenging task, I think. And if you think, oh, I don't know how we're going to do that. Well, okay, yeah, let's approach it like that. You wouldn't say it in that way. You'd say it in a far more refined way. But nonetheless, it's a challenging task. That's why we take time over it. Because it's hard to distinguish our good ideas from the Spirit's leading. It is hard to distinguish between our criticisms and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It is hard to distinguish those general nice true things from those particular things that the Spirit is putting his finger on and saying, this is an area, this is something I want you to bring to the church and to work on. So we need each other. We need the church meeting. We need church gatherings. We need to do it together. So to equip us, we have four things, right? Just as we go, what am I meant to do, really? What am I meant to do with this sheet of paper that's been given to me? How do I use it? First of all, be prepared. Use your resources that's given to you. Put it in a convenient place. Put it on your fridge with a fridge magnet holding it secure. Put it on your desk. Put it by your bedside. Put it somewhere where it is accessible. And it's available. You can use it to jot down things as they come to you. You can use it as almost like a blackboard. You put something down and you come back later and you think, no, that was rubbish, and scribble it out. Or put something down and you think, that might be something in that right area. And be prepared and have that resource available. Be prayerful. Ask the Spirit to guide your thinking and your feeling. Ask the Spirit to give you that ability to distinguish between what he's saying and what is just stuff floating through your mind. Be thoughtful. It might be that something comes to you while you're reading your Bible. It might come to you when you're doing something. When you're on your run, if you run. When you're swimming in the sea, if you are out of your mind for a moment. No, I mean, if you are into that really refreshing way of doing things. Do you know, my neuro doctor said this week, looking after my well-being, you might want to take a cold water dip. It's a cold water! Oh yeah, or you could go to a health spa, and you could go in the cold pool, take a cold shower. Why? She said, or a sauna. I said, I'll do the sauna, but I'm cold water. Leave it out. Where were we? It might be when you're in that sauna or in the cold water dip, something comes to you. I mean, it might be. It might be when you're browsing through your smartphone. It might even be when you're in church. Something comes to you, think, oh, that's interesting. I wonder if that's the Spirit speaking to me, making something clear to me. Make a note. You might just want to jot it down. Use your phone to make a note. If your resource isn't available, you're going to have to get to it and write it later. Some way where you remember it and do it later. So be thoughtful. And the last one, here's a key one, be patient. At the conference this week, the person who was speaking to us and helping us with our understanding of God's ways. She's put to us something called slow wisdom, and she unpacked that for us. Slow wisdom. The wisdom of God, what God is saying, hearing and understanding what we're to do, usually takes time. And she studied churches doing that, and churches doing that through church meetings and other ways. And it's usually, she said, it is usually something that does take time. And it's a slow wisdom. It requires us to take time together. It requires us all to participate. Remember, it could be just you that God picks on to say something. And it takes quite a while, perhaps, to pick it out from the rest of the stuff, which is buzzing around our brains, and it's very difficult for God to speak to us because so much else is going on, and we're doing so much else. We're worried about this, and we're concerned about that, and we're stressed about that, and we want to think about that because it's fun. We want to celebrate the rugby as it's going on because it's so exciting at the moment, or whatever it is. You see what happens? The Lord says, you have to wait for that moment. Your mind can receive, God is saying. It takes time, slow wisdom, and it takes a while working together to discern that together. So seek the Spirit, catch the mind of Christ for this church. And we start doing that now. Next week, we'll look more into how we can tell whether we are finding the mind of Christ or our own mind and our own thoughts. How can we distinguish? So as we go into that, let's pray, and then we're going to sing together our final song. So Father God, come upon us, your people. Help us to know your mind. Lord, help us to this week to rejoice in the fact that we are your holy priesthood. That you love us, that you deal directly with us. Help us to rejoice in that and live in that in the fullness of your Spirit.